Boker Tov, today's daf is daf Chof Hey in Tanis. Last week in this Masechet. Yesterday we started the story of Rav Chanina ben Dosa and how poor he was, and how his, the top of the Gemara mentioned how his wife was baking. She didn't have anything to bake, but she just lit up the fire, fit up the fire anyway, put twigs in there and make a lot of smoke. So the top of the Gemara says, every Shabbos will repeat that piece, Havi Regil Devisu, bottom of the last line of the previous page, Havi Regil Devisu, Mechmatuna Komal Shabbos. Every Friday, she would light up the oven and put twigs in there, Vishadiakhtar, so she would put twigs in there and make a lot of smoke, because she was embarrassed. She had an evil neighbor, Amra Michti Yadana Leslavami. I know they don't have anything. What's she cooking up there? Michael, what's going on? Ozla Vatarfa Baba, she knocked on the door. Ichsifa, so the Rav Chanina ben Dosa's wife got embarrassed because where was she going to open up the door and the woman's going to see that she's got an oven full of nothing? She went into another room there inside the house. It's a miracle happened. The Chazal Torah that the neighbor saw that the oven, as if it was full of malei lachma, she saw the oven was full of bread, vagma lisha, and the kneading trough was full of dough. Amrullah, plansa, you, I see masa, bring a shovel to kakaruch lachma, your bread is getting burnt. That's why I went in there. I'm just in the other room. I'm looking for a shovel. Shitaka went in. Bryce learned that she didn't just go in out of embarrassment. Shitaka went in to get a shovel. She was accustomed to having miracles performed for her. She put nothing in there, and yet she expected that there could be bread there. Amla Dvisu, so told him once, how long are we going to keep on suffering like this in utter poverty? Amrullah, Mayav, what do you want me to do? He says, Boy Rachman, that's for me. So daven, you should get something. Boy Rachman, so he daven. Yotzakim in pieces, yeah, like a hand came down from heaven. The Avalei Chad Kara, the Pesurah, the Dava, and gave him one leg of a golden table. Chad Kara, one leg, the Pesurah, the Dava, of a golden leg. Chazal b'cham, and then she saw in a dream. That Asiri Tzadike. It's not clear here who said. See, there's a lot of parentheses. If he said, she said. There was a dialogue between the husband and wife. It's not clear who said what. She saw in a dream Asiri Tzadike the Achla Psuradava that the Tzadikim were going to eat on a golden table. The Islay Tlaskar that has a three-legged golden table. The At, or if she saw it, you know, if she saw it, then she said. She says, and you. If he saw it, then he saw in a dream that everybody's going to eat on a three-legged table, that's a tzaddikim, and you, the wife, are going to eat on a two-legged table, the treikrai. You know, as if one leg, in other words, you're getting one leg now, so you're not going to have the third leg, lasad lavo. So, amrlei nechled mechel echli kuli alma. Are you satisfied with that? Everybody else should eat on a three-legged, absurd, the meshla on a complete table, the anan, absurd mefsa, and are you going to be happy with that? That everybody else is going to eat on a complete table, we're going to eat on an incomplete table. In the next world, Amalei, what should we do? He says, you should daven that they should take it away from you. And they took away that leg. In other words, as if to say that he had nisim performed for him once in a while, but he still remained in poverty because he didn't want to take any of the share in the next world, you want to have it in this world. The latter miracle that the leg was taken back was greater than the first miracle that it was handed down to them. The Gemiri, the Miyav Yavi, Mishkol LeMishkol. Things are given out of heaven, but taken back they're not. So this is all part of the miracles that happened to them, even though they lived in abject poverty. Chad Beis Shemshu, one Erev Shabbos, Chazin Lebarsi saw his daughter David, said she was very sad. Rav Chanina ben Dosa saw his daughter and she was upset. Amalei Biti, Lamai says, why are you upset? Why are you upset? Amalei, she told him, Kli shel chometz nischalef li b'kli shel shemen, because the container of vinegar got mixed up with, I confused the vinegar container with the oil container, but lakni mena oil Shabbos, and I lit the candles for Shabbos with the vinegar instead of with the oil. In other words, it's not going to last very long, the light's going to go out. What do you care? Misha Amr Lashem Avi, look, whoever, and it's God who commanded that that oil should burn, who Yomar Lachomitz Vi, look, he can also command that the vinegar should burn. In other words, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, to him, everything was min hashamayim, like even the nisim were regilim. It wasn't that he relied on this. He didn't say, I'll go light with vinegar. But he said, if it was done already, don't worry about it. Hashem will take care of it. Teka burned all the Ashivi men or Avdola. They brought from it more Avdola. Rashi says, interesting, that they brought or for Avdola from that, but they didn't continue lighting afterwards. Vinashal Maisanisim Kiba. Notice that one he put out, he wouldn't have enough from it. He lit from it another light candle, but he didn't keep that one lighting for Avdola. because he didn't want to have any anah from a maisanism, as we said before, it would be because that would diminish from his merits in the next world. He had some goats. Amrulay, they told him, Kamafsadan, your goats are damaging our crops. Kamafsadan Izach, your goats are damaging. Amr, Ikamafsadan, if that's true, Nechlino Dubi, let the bears eat them up. When they go out in the field, let the bear, you know, when they roaming around, let the bears eat them up. Vilo, and if it's not true, then kol chavachat teisi leur to dubi bekarana. Then each every goat should bring a bear on its horns, as if the goat could destroy the bear. Leurta in the evening, icy kol chavachat dubi bekarana. Each miraculously, the goats brought bears on their horns, as if they defeated them, as if to show that, you know, miraculously, these goats weren't doing any damage. Havli Yeshivasa the Kabanya Besa, there was a neighbor who was building a house. It was a neighbor there in who was building a house, and Shivalamotik Shuri, the beams didn't go long enough. In other words, the beams, let's say for the roof, did not go long enough from one wall to the other. Also come in Amrle Benisi Beit, I built my house for come to Shud, and the beams aren't long enough. Amrle Mashmech, what's your name? Amrle Echu. Her name is Echu. Amr Echu Nimti Sharach. Let your beams become longer. Let them reach. Tani Giyu Ashiyatsu Amalekan Mekanakan. They reached so miraculously, the beams extended so far that they went an Amma beyond the wall. V'Yesham Snifim Asu. Some say that it wasn't the beams themselves that got extended miraculously, but extra branches were like added on miraculously. Tana Plim Omer, Anira Yisrael Sabais. I saw the house, Vayikros of Yotzen Am, Vayikros of Am Malakam Malakam. And I saw the beams talk and went past the walls, an Am in each direction. They said to me, Bayeze Shakira Rechina Mendoza. So this is the house that Rechina completed, or that he put a roof on with his tefillah, meaning, because with that beam, once it was extended to the walls, they could put a roof on the house. These were all the various miracles that happened to Rechina Mendoza. But the question Barna says is, Rechina Mendoza, Mechina Mendoza, he was so poor, how did he have goats? He didn't have any food in the house. He couldn't have any bread. How did he own goats? Va'ani Avi, he was a very poor man. You're not supposed to raise animals like that, small animals in Eretz Yisrael, because they go into others' fields and destroy them, and it's stealing. Amar Pinchas, he didn't really own goats. What happened was, Maisav over Adam Echadal Pesach Beis. So one time, a man was passing by the door of his house, and left some chickens there. Umatzos Anishto, some found them. They seemed to be abandoned. Ba'omerlon, he said, Al Tochli B'Beitzem, don't eat from their eggs, because this is a loss that's lost and found. You're not allowed to eat from them. It belongs to somebody else. Don't eat their eggs. So when B'Hir B'Beitzem, all of a sudden, there were a lot of eggs, and the eggs hatched also. But Targolim, all of a sudden, there were a lot of eggs and a lot of Targolim, and it troubled them. They gave them all kinds of Agmat Nefesh. They had to take care of the chickens, or make a noise, or whatever, made a mess. So what he did was, that's what you're supposed to do with if you find a lost object, it's going to go, let's say you find somebody lost food, right? So you don't just say, well, I'll wait for maybe the food's going to get them spoiled, so you sell the food, you buy something that'll last. The same thing over here, if they were going to cause them trouble, the Targum was going to show, so you sell them and you buy something. So he bought with them goats. So the goats didn't belong to him, he wasn't raising them, it was just a lost and found object. Pamachos overall said, I'm the person who lost the, who must have left the Targum by mistake, he passed by there. The one who lost the chickens passed by there. Amr Chavir told his friend, "Ah, but Kani Nachtigam. I think this is the place where I lost them. This place looks familiar." But Kani Nachtigam Tanagolin Shli Shamar Pchini. Pchini overheard them speaking. Amr Lo Yesh Chabasim. Do you have a simin? Can you give me some sort of a sign to indicate the plumber or something, what your chickens look like. I'm a little hain. Nothing. Somebody gave him the simba but nothing season. He took the goats. But hain,
okay,
easy.
The pardon? Logic here escapes me. If you're not supposed to have goats.
Right. Why did he buy goats? No, because he only bought them for a short period of time just to turn them out. He wasn't raising goats. He wasn't having generations, etc. He just was saying, yeah, why did he buy some goats? Right. Well, the chickens could also. He had no choice. Right.
In case somebody returns.
Right. Well, they expected, he fully expected them to come back. He wasn't expecting to hold them on for long. So he wasn't raising them. The Nathalesis, Mahena and Easy, the Isu, Dubuka. Those are the goats that brought the bears on their horns. Rablazar and Pedas. The Chekla Milsa was extremely poor, Tuva, very, very poor. Avid Milsa, one day he had to have Akasas Dam, which was the normal Rafu in those times. He let blood. And after you let blood, like here also, they give you that petal stuff, that sugary garbage after you give blood. Vavile, Mide, he had no food to eat. He was very weakened after having let blood. And he had nothing to eat. Shukal brought it to me. He took the outer part of a garlic, like a garlic skin. The shagir b'pu, he stuck in his mouth, chalash libe, and that made him so sick that he fainted. And then he fell asleep. Also, Rabbanu Shleibe, when he was in a sick bed, the rabbis came to visit him. Chazyu, the kabachi, while he was in the sick bed sleeping, they saw that he was crying and he was laughing. And a shining light, like a beam of light, shone forth from his forehead. He asked her when he woke up, Amrullah, they said, my time, what was going on in those dreams of yours? Why are you crying and laughing? Amrullah, Daviyasim and Kishbach, Rosh was sitting with me. Amrullah, and I said, Admosay, it's Tar, my Alma. Why do I have to be so poor? How much longer do I have to suffer in this world? Amrullah, Elazar Bani, Nechalach, the Abchil Amma, would you prefer that I turn over the world, Mareisha, the Efshid, the Mesialdis, Bashaz, the Mazoni? Would you prefer, and as you're living in a famine time, would you prefer that I go back, change the whole world all over again, and start all over again? Maybe you'll be born in a more in a time of abundance and not in a time of famine. So I'm going to say, probably to the Baruch Shalom, Kuli Haifa Efshir. You're going to return the whole world, and you say, and possibly I would grow. If you tell me you're going to redo the whole world, and then I will be born in a good time, fine. You say, should I start the world all over again? And maybe you'll be born in a different time. All that on a possibility. Amalei, and I also told him, the chayitfei or the chenem, is most of my life gone or is most of life ahead of me? That's if I lived already most or am I going to... Amalei, the chayis, what you've lived already is, most of your life has gone by. Amalei, im kain, lo beina. So if that's the case, don't bother. Don't bother. Most of my life is gone anyway. I don't want you to, don't trouble yourself. Most of my life is gone anyway. In other words, I'll continue suffering. Amr Lee, Bahai Agris, Tamras Lobina, and this reward that you get because you didn't trouble me and you didn't say, don't bother, changing the world if most of my life is gone. You have Mechala Amdas, and the next row I'm going to give you Tlaser Navarsa, the Meshchafar. So I'm going to give you 13 rivers full of balsam oil, the Chayin that's very pure, that's pure as Kefras Vidigelis, as pure as the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers, the Ma'angasbu that you can enjoy yourself in. Amr Lakameh, so I said to him, hi Vasulo, that's all I'm gonna get is these oil rivers. Is that my reward? Hi Vasulo. Amalay Vah Khabrach Mayev. What do you want everything? What am I gonna give to anybody, to other people? Amalay Va'ana Bigavar de Leslie Binan. And am I asking for something to take away from somebody who has nothing else? In other words, you got plenty there, I'm not asking to take something from somebody who has nothing else. Strange conversation as it appears to us. Machaim Basklukla Absoy, so he pushed his fingers together. He snapped his fingers on my forehead. Vomerly, and he said to me, Elazar Bri, Giri Bakiri, I've shot arrows at you. In other words, it was like a nice way of saying, Rashi's Lashon Ched, a nice way of saying that he gave him a nice, like a kiss on the head, and that's why it shone forth. Now, what was the crying and the laughing? So the crying was when he told him, because Hashem said to him that, most of your time is gone. Right? Most of your time is already gone. That's why he started crying. Like, most of his life is gone. And the reason that he laughed is when he heard that he was going to get this great reward in the next world. Rav Chaim Bar Chanina, Gozer Chas, was with a decree to fast. Well, also meant the rain did not arrive. Amrlei, but Vishuba Levi Gozer Nisa, they told, this is, again, the Lashon of the Chacham is very takif. So Rav Chaim Bar Chanina was Gozer Tadis, and rain didn't come. So he said, listen, Rav Vishuba Levi, we got another rabbi here. When he decreed a fast, while some rain came, Amalu, Ha, no, ha, balavoy, that's me, that's him. You know, he's greater than I am. What do you want? Amalei denesi, amalei denesi v'nechavan daitan. Maybe we should bring him and we should concentrate. Efshu the tavri tzibura labayu. In other words, maybe the tzibur will break their hearts, and as a result, rain will come. So bom rachmi daven lost, rain did not come. Amr lehus, he told him nechalach shiavo mata b'shvileinu, should come in our schus of the rabbis, not for you. In other words, not for you, but for in honor of you and in the schus of these two rabbis, Rav Chama bar Chanina and Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Amr lekein, they said, and Amr rakia rakia, said heaven, kasik apecha, cover your face. In other words, become cloudy. Lochsi, it didn't happen. Amr kama azim pnei rakia, look what a chutzpah pnei rakia is that doesn't cover its face. Ichsi, then it covered its face. Vasi metra. Interesting, again, the way he spoke. If that seemed like a chutzpah to speak that way, but it was like, it was a way of speaking to the heavens. It wasn't speaking to Hashem. Cover your face and let the rains come down. So here apparently didn't come, the people alone did not warrant the rain, but with the rabbi's chus, it helped. Levi goes on to say, Metro. Levi was also a rabbi. He was decreed a fast. Rain did not come. I'm going to find a shalom. Here he spoke with a little bit of a chutzpah. Alisa via shaft marm, you're sitting upstairs. You went up and you're sitting upstairs. You have no rachmanos on your kids down here. Also mentioned rain came vidla, but Levi became lame because of the chutzpah. Notice Hashem answered his prayer, but the way he spoke caused him to become lame. Amr lezer lolam, ayatichar m'kadam kalim. A person should not complain towards heaven in this manner. Shrei adam gadol itiach kivaram kadmalik, because a person, a great man, did speak in this manner, vidla, and he became lame. Amano, who's that Levi? So Levi was a great man, yet when he spoke with chutzpah, right, so the chutzpah, he became lame. What was the Bardichever's name? Interesting, huh? Levi spoke with chutzpah, and that's the way the Levi spoke, right? Yeah, no, I'm just saying, no, he wasn't doing the Madrid, but it's interesting how you said the Gemara. In all these cases, you know, here he quotes Levi as being the chutzpah, and that's the, you know, the way he spoke with them. Is that what caused Levi to become lame? But Levi, achve kido kamei to Rebbe, he, from the famous thing of kido, kido is a way of bowing down to Hashem, prostrating himself, just sticking your fingers into the ground and balancing yourself on your toes. It's like a very difficult push-up. And he tried to demonstrate in front of Rabbi Vietlin. Because of that, he hurt himself, became lame. The sin of complaining to God and you know, caused him that at the time that he performed this this difficult exercise, he became lame. In other words, like you say, the Rabban Shalom takes out the complaint, lets the malach who caused harm or caused death, he has them come out in a time when a person is in danger. The Kirbalayin was able to hear the clouds, this personification, speaking to one of the Kamri. Let's pour some water down on Ammon and Moab, like on the other side of the Jordan. So Rav Chiya bar Elai said to him, when you gave Torah to your nation, to Israel, you went around to all the nations, and they didn't accept the Torah. But Achshav Atanoslan Mata, now you're giving them rain. Shadu Hacha, pour the rain down here. Shadu Adichtai, and the rain came down right in that place. In other words, this is like a logical way of speaking to the Baruch Shalom, you know, like explaining, like defending them. Look, we were the ones who accepted the Torah. It wasn't like the chutzpah, hey, you're getting upstairs and you have no rachmanis on our people down here. Darsh appear by the lines, how you say some. Darsh appear by the line, might have said, Tzadik Tam Yibroch, Kerzman, and Yiska. That Lashon, what is it we say? Tzadik Tam Yibroch, that Tzadik will blossom like a tamar, like a date tree. Ke'erez Bavon Yiska, and like a cedar in Lebanon, he will flourish. What does that mean? And this is brought down because we just mentioned Rav Chiya bar Elai, where the clouds is in them are Tamar Lom and Erez. Why is the Tzadik compared to both the Tamar and the Erez? If it says Tamar, why does it say Erez and Erez and then Erez Lom and Tamar? Why does it say both? Why is the Tzadik be compared to both? Even Emer Tamar Lom and Erez. If it would say Tamar Lom and Erez, how you say Ma Tamar, just like a Tamar, Ein Gizo Machlof, just like a Tamar. If you cut it down, it doesn't regrow. Once you cut down you take off the trunk, it doesn't continue to grow. Af Tzadik, Chas V'Chilin Gizo Mach, I think also, he doesn't regenerate himself. And Rashi says, we're not speaking about children over here, we're speaking about, there's no tchias emesim, that once he's cut down in this world, he may be chas v'chilil, there was no tchias emesim. That's what I might think. L'kach nemer eres. That's why it says eres, because an eres regrows itself. We'll soon talk about that. Is that really the case? Even if eres, if we say eres, doesn't like an eres, does not produce fruit. Aftarek chas v'chilil einos aperes. Rashi says over here means peres means he has no schar in the next world. Doesn't mean children. Means he has no schar in the next world. L'kach nemer tamar. So in other words, this is like a source for tzadik hatavir, a source for olam haba, for tchias amesim, and for schar in the next world. L'kach nemer tamar v'nemer eres. Remember, eres gizemach is it true that a cedar tree regenerates itself if you cut it down? V'tanya lokech ilan michavero. Let's say you bought a tree in order to take the tree with you. You didn't just buy the tree with the land there, like you own the tree the way it stands. You tricked the tree to cut it down. So if you buy a tree from somebody, lokutz to cut it down, magbiom in a karka tefach v'kotes. You've got to leave a trunk of at least a tefach so that it can regenerate itself. In other words, you don't have to take the whole tree out. This sadana shikman, an older sycamore tree, means a tree that's already, a sycamore that's already grown and given off fruit, Rashi says, shekvar hiskin. Because v'chotzer himself goes again, umulash and sadam sudan, that, so shnei tefachim, you've got to leave two tefachim of a trunk in order to regrow itself. Psulza shikma in a virgin sycamore that has not yet produced anything. Then shloshet tefachim, become v'kfanim with reeds and vines, min apkakulamal, apkak from the knot from which the branches come out and the fruits come out, you have to leave from that point, ulamala. B'tkalm of arozim, b'tkalm and arozim, which don't regenerate themselves at all, so there's no point in cutting it off at a certain spot, it's not going to regrow again anyway. Hopefully, lamata mashas, you could dig all the way down, take out the roots, l'fisha ain't gives a machla, it doesn't grow again. So you see an eros does not grow again. So I skin and b'sham eros, there's different kinds of rosim. K'rab barafuna, we've had this many cases, many times, I'm rab barafuna. Asar min erosim, there are 10 different kinds of cedars. Shnemer etik b'medbar eros shita adas. 7 are mentioned in that pasuk, and we have the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which he added on, that he added on alonim, almonim, almogim, different versions over there. He added on 3 more, so it's a total of 10. So in Echanami, the regular eros does not regrow itself, but other kinds do. Tanabar Maisa Rablazer. So Rablazer, Shegozer, Shloshetanias. He was goes with the 13 tanios that we, the normal for the lack of rain. The first 3 that only the tzaddikim fast, and then the following 3, and then the last 7, which encumber all the decrees, in other words, all the fasting and the not just the fasting, but also the shoes, etc., the various inuyim that we do. So he goes through as alat zibur. V'leirik sham, rain didn't come down despite that. Bachroni eschilu at zibur lasis. At the end, they finished davening on they finished the 13th fast, and they were leaving. Amalem tekantam kfar matzvachem. You prepared great. Are we done here? There's still no rain. What are you leaving now? You're leaving now. Have you prepared graves for yourselves? Like there's a famine out there. Go come. Everybody cried out, wailed out in crying. And because of that, Yardik Shom, again, we saw yesterday that when people are dejected and crying, that brings out the rain. Just the davening itself isn't what does it. It's the dejection, the feeling of being depressed and crying out. That's what does it. Shub Mais Rablazer Storv Dasa Shoyar Lefnei Teva. Omer Esrim Barba Brachas. He said 24, the 24 brachas and Shemin Esrei that you say on these fast, the latter fast days. He wasn't answered. Yoru Rabbi Kiva Achra. Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Lezer. He went down. Avinu Malkeinu. He started saying Avinu Malkeinu Lachalato. Avinu Malkeinu Lamancha Rachem Malenu. V'yorik Shemin rain came down for Rabbi Kiva. Havin Ran Rabbanan. So the rabbis sort of laughed. They said, look, Rabbi Kiva did it. Rabbi Kiva was the Talmud. Rabbi Lezer, the Rabbi, couldn't bring down the rain. Rabbi Kiva did. That's a basket of armor. Lob nation said, it's not that one is greater than the other. It's not that Rav Kiva is greater than Rav Elazar. Elish Hazem Mavri al Midosav, Hazem Mavri al Dosav. Rav Elazar was very exacting. And he was, and Rav Kiva was forbearing. He held himself back. He wasn't so exacting with the people. So the Mefarshim asked, okay, so that means that Rav Kiva was greater than Rav Elazar. So he explains from Yisrael Salanter, I think he explained from Yisrael Salanter that it wasn't that Rabbi Lezer was a Tamidim of Shammai. The Shammai was more makbid. They were more like literal. Everything had to be exact. And it wasn't that they were wrong, it was that that was their minhag. And Tamidim and Beis Hillel were less exacting. They were Mavir al Midosav. They let things pass. So, as if to say, it wasn't that Rabbi Akiva was greater than Rabbi Lezer as a greater rabbi. Rabbi Lezer was just as great, if not greater, than Rabbi Akiva. He was Rabbi Akiva's, he was a grievous master. But the Rabbanu Shalom here answered Rabbi Akiva, Mita Keneged Mita. Now, there was a bunch of them, listen, you're not worthy of rain. They're not worthy of rain. Maybe punishment is not worthy of rain. But because Rabbi Akiva, who was Mavir al Midosav, he was a person who was very forbearing. He wasn't so machbid. He was from that school that wasn't machbid. So Rabbi Shalom wasn't machbid with him either. And he said, okay, you know, I'll let it go. I'll let it pass this time. So again, you could have the same greatness, but the Rosh Hashanah, maybe you see the same thing with Funi Amagel, you know, or these other poor rabbis that it wasn't that they were the greatest rabbis around, the greatest Talmid Chacham necessarily. It could be others were also great, but they had these midos and Hashem treated them differently.
This would seem to imply that it's better to be giving, that Hashem appreciates the character
right.
of being forgiving more than being
mad. That's right. So I was thinking more about... He said that it's Tov Liot Lo Lahakpid. I was thinking more even about this. I was thinking about saying this we had the Gemara the other day about Ravada Barava, that famous line. He says, "What b'ma'a rachta yamim?" He says, "Because I never got angry in my house." We're talking about that. I never got angry in my house. So you know that's a great thing. But it's even greater. Was he the only one who never got angry in his house? But before, remember Ravada Barava, it's back on Nafchafam Beis. Remember, Rav Huna had used him. You know, because he was such a great man, Rav Huna used him to keep his house from falling down till he took out the wine. Then when Rav Huna heard about it, he says, Ikbid. So he says, listen, you shouldn't stand in Makam Sakona, and if they do it in Makam Sakona, you used me to perform a ness. The house should have fallen down, but he used me, my Shuyot, to keep the house up. So now, when you got your wine out, you know, and then the house fell down. But meanwhile, some of my merits were used up, and it says there was ikbid, he was makbid. And then later on, the Gemara says, "Rada Baba, why b'maharachta yamim? I'm yamim lach bari beis." In other words, he was a person who was makbid. It wasn't like he said, "Oh, he was always at least whatever you do to him, he doesn't do anything." He's the kind of guy that he's never makbid about anything. He slap him, hurt him, cheat him, steal whatever. He doesn't. He's not makbid on anything. He's such a great tzaddik. Rav Adarbar didn't say Rav Adarbar. The Gemara shows that he was a makbid. He was makbid. Oh, you used up my merits. He got angry. He was upset, but he was never makbid in his house. In other words, what he's showing is that despite that, the greatest, one of the hardest things is to go against your nature. So here's a person like you know, if one person is a person who's always calm, he never gets angry. Nothing upsets him. So okay, that's his nature. That's a great. It's a great trait. But think of the person who was very makbid. Moshe Feinstein used to say, Moshe Feinstein used to give edus about himself. He says he was a very angry person. He was very angry. And it was a battle every time to control his temper. His whole life he spent controlling his temper. You don't think of Moshe Feinstein, you think a man's always sitting and learning, answering shilas, being a tzaddik for the whole tzibur, the God, you know, in his time, by all accounts, he was the God of Lador. Even in that, so they considered him the God of Lador. And yet, he said he always had a fight against his nature. So it's great. That's the gradus of Ravada Barava, that he was makbid. He was a person who was always tough and I don't know, what's a good word, Michael, strict. For makbid? Strict? Yeah, strict. And, you know, his nature was strict. He was very...
Intemperate.
Intemperate, yeah. Yeah, but it's more like, you know, he was very exacting, I think is a good word. He's exacting. Everything he was upset about, he's very exacting. Well, you know, he'd say today he was, you know, obsessive, compulsive, whatever. And yet he, in his own home, he never got angry. That's an unbelievable thing, to go against your nature.
Baal Mezek.
Huh?
Baal
Mezek. Baal Mezek?
Mezek.
Yeah. Tan Rabbanan.
Well, okay, did you really make the distinction here between
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like a spiritual level.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Not every problem.
Right. So, but I think he's not
proper
saying. Yes, but he's not saying that. He's saying that.
I understand,
but I'm saying I still think that Rav Lezer was still a great tzaddik. You know, it's not to say he was only intellectual great, but he wasn't a tzaddik. He was also a very righteous man. Could be he was as righteous as Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva had this nature. Brought down from Hillel, the school of thought.
Still not be a particularly nice person.
hard to see that. It's hard to see that.
We have it all the time.
You know,
time.
These words are unites. You have to, it's hard to see. You can't see. I understand, but then
we
wouldn't say he's that. Then we would say he's not that righteous. Then we'd say he's not that righteous.
Well, we would say that because we know Rabbi Akiva. In
yeah.
other words,
right.
You know, we look at everything.
Still special, right?
The kind
right.
of
right.
brilliance.
Right.
Is not necessarily doesn't
yeah.
always go together
yeah.
with something that a Kaddish Baruch Hu would
right, right.
and say.
Right. That's right.
This guy.
That's right. In fact, more times than not, we see brilliance. Brilliance makes a person arrogant, and he can't understand the people who are less brilliant. We learn that at a certain point in time, you know, that they even during the same day they could stop fasting. But how much rain has to come down? As the coulter of the plow. In other words, how far down does the rain have to get down? And a few drops of ground on the surface isn't going to do anything. Excuse me. How far down does the rain have to sink into the ground for it to say, okay, oh, now we can stop fasting? You know, but not only during that day, in general. And it's, what's enough rain to stop all the fasts? So Reb Meir says it's as far as the blade, the coulter goes of the plow goes into the ground. Chomomim becharei, it depends on the ground. If it's dry land, tefach deep. Beinus, idiom land, tefchaim two. Ba'avuda, if it's land which is plowed up already and the rain goes in easily, it's got to go three tefachim down into the ground. Then it's considered enough that you don't need more rain. Tain Reb Shimon Lozomer, ein lecha tefach malosh, ein tom yotzim across so shosh tefachim. There's, if it comes in a tefach, if it goes a tefach deep in the ground, then the waters and the aquifers below the ground come up three tefachim to greet it. In other words, as if to say that the water finds water. Some moisture comes up from below. Even though the ground is very thick, Rash is like 1,000 amas, but it could still, some moisture goes up. I've told you, it's fine. One of the places we learned that it comes up only two tefachs lokasha. Kam bevuda, kam shein bevuda. So again, here Rashi says that if the ground is worked, it's already been plowed up, then you don't have that, but that, then to get down two tefachs, there's not that much water. So when it goes down one tefach, if it's already worked up, not much water, you don't need that much water because it's already, the ground is plowed up. So if not much water comes in, then it only comes up two tefachs. But if it's dry land, in order to get down a tefach, you need a lot of water. If a lot of water comes up, then the water from below comes up three tefachim to greet. And as the more water that comes down, the more water comes up. When they do the water libation on Sukkos, the depth says to its chaver, Abba memcha, let your water gush up. Why? Because kol shneimer, I hear the voice of two friends, meaning that's the nesachim of the wine and the nesachim of the water. Shneimer tom el tom korei, the depths calls to the depths, the kol tzinrecha, to the voice of your channels, meaning the two channels of the nesachim of the wine and the nesachim of the water. Amar Rabba l'diti chazili hai rigya, I saw the angel Rigya. Rigya was the angel that brought the rain, even though Hashem decreed when his rain is going to come. But Rigya, so to speak, announces it. Dummy leg looks like a calf who pierces and its lips are parted. And it stands between the lower depths of water and the upper depths of water. Rashi on the left side here says it's at where the point where the sky kisses the ocean. Horizon, but that's hard to understand. You know what that? What does that mean? As if that's that assumes it almost assumes like not a round world the way we understand it. That we know that the horizon doesn't really exist. Maybe it's like that. It's comparable to that. Bein tomel tzotzra, letomi. So bein tomel tzotzra letomi law omelay, and the Rigya, this angel of the rain, says to the upper depths, chashor memecha, sprinkle your waters above. The Tomat saw to the lower depths is Armalabamech, let your waters gush forth, Shinamar Nitsunim Nirubaretz. The blossoms appear on the land. The Pasuk goes on and it says, Rashi says, Kol Hator Vesa Zamir Igia, Zmir Sachag, Uz Kol Hator. Then you hear the Kol Hator, the voice of the Torah. Tor over here just means a turtle, but the Torah in Lashon Arami, in the Gemara's Lashon, is a calf, a cow. So that's what he means over here. You hear the call of the Torah. That's a symbolic of Rigya, the Malach Rigya, who looks like a calf, calling out these words. He said if rain came before nets, then they stop fasting. If rain came down before Netzachama, then lo yashlimu, they shouldn't bother fasting anymore. Once past Netzachama, yashlimu, then they should. So here we're talking about at what point in the day, if you're in the middle of one day and you started fasting already, when do you stop? But how much rain, before we discussed how much rain has to come down, enough to irrigate down a tefach or two tefachs or the size of the colt or whatever, but that was how much rain has to come down to be considered enough rain. This is at what point in the day does the rain come that you stop fasting. So Rameir says if once you pass Netzachama and the rain hadn't yet happened, you complete the fast. Rabbi says, no, karam chatzos. That's the time normally for eating. So if the rain came down 11 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to fast anymore. You don't have to fast. Le'ashlimu. La'achar chatzos, after chatzos, shalshim. Yosi Yomer is the third cheese. Those two cheeses we had in the mission. The Gemara now says in the Braisa, Yosi Yomer karam teisha shalos. If it happened less than 3/4 of the day, le'ashlimu. If your rain happened, let's say even at 2-3 in the afternoon, you don't have to fast anymore. La'achar teisha shalos, if it came down afterwards, 5-6 in the afternoon, le'ashlimu. She came at Sidon Ba'achar v'vam Mech Yisrael. She'asana mit teisha shalos l'malam. When Eliyahu commanded him, he started fasting, not because that's when the kings start their meal there, like Shemar. Harisa showed you Kinechnan and Achav. Achav was humbled. Rabbi Yudah Nasiya goes on. Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, this is the grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He could decree a fast. Rain came down after Netzachama. After Netzachama, Sabel Shmita, he felt that you should complete the fast because at Netzachama it still had not rained. We've learned, and that's the accepted opinion, that's before Chatzos. If it hasn't rained by Chatzos, then you continue fasting. If it rained at 11 in the morning, you don't fast. Shmuel HaKotten goes to this. Shmuel HaKotten decreed a fast when there was a drought. Yodom Shem Kodom Etzacham came down for Etzacham. Kesfur Na'am Lomer, people figure Lomer Shivchol Shel Tzibur. Look at the Shvach of the Tzibur. They hardly even fasted. The rain came down before Netzacham. Before Netzacham, they don't have to even fast. So they never really even had a go through the day of fasting, so it must be that the Tzibur warrants a lot of merit. Amr Lahem, so Shmuel said, Amr Shilcha Mashal, I'll give you a Mashal Amadav, what's it comparable to? Le'evit Shemakish Prasim Rabba. Evid is seeking some sort of a reward, some sort of a payment from his master. Amr Lahem, Tnulo, so he told them, Tnulo, so he told like his servants there, give it to him, Thal Eshma Kolo, and I don't want to listen to him. In other words, like he's as if to say, give it to them. I don't want to bother them. It's not necessarily a good thing. It's because like, yeah, I give it to them. I don't want to listen to them. You know that it's shuv Shmuel HaKotan goes another time when he goes to Tanis Virulam Shom rain came down lachar shkia sachama after shkia kasvur maloma shachar shchatzibur. So he said that when rain came down only very very late. So they said, oh, it's a shvach tzibur that they, that their fasting helped. Wait until he suffers. In other words, it came down late in the day. Let him suffer a lot the whole day. Then give it to him. So according to Shmuel HaKotan, if it rains early in the morning, it's a sign that God says, don't bother with them. I don't want to listen to them. The Hakmer Chaynik, you bother me. Leave me alone. I don't want to listen to them. And if it rains late in the day, he says, make him suffer. So what is a good sign? When he says, you say Mash Baruch and the winds come, Omer Adagosh, and the rain comes, that's a good sign.
Everything's
good, easily. In the end of the Mishnah said, there was a story where they goes to Tanis, and rain came down before Chatzos. From Tarfon said, you don't have to, because that's really like the Pesach, you see, like a Maisa Shehoya, a precedent. There's a different opinions, three opinions as to what point of the day rain comes and you don't have to fast anymore. So here, Reb Tarfon's the story of Reb Tarfon. Came down, Ludum Reb Tarfon said, okay, listen, it came down 11 in the morning, go out and have a good meal, eat, drink, and be merry. And then afterwards, when in the evening, you'll say Halal HaGadol. Halal HaGadol is not Halal, like we say, Halal HaGadol is we say on Shabbos morning, Hodol Hashem. Why? Because it says over there, no sin lechem l'chol boser, when Hashem gives you sustenance, kilam chasto. Maisa, because of times, v'nei mahal m'go, why do they say Halal first? Why do they say, go eat, have a drink, and eat, drink, and be merry, have a good meal? And then in mincha time, you'll come in, you'll say Halal. Why didn't they say Halal first? The Bible, they both agreed. Lefish einom Halal ela al nefesh sveya. You do it on a satisfied stomach for Kirsten, and a full stomach, and a full and satisfied. When you're satisfied and you're full, you had a full stomach. Ain't of a republic of Knesset, he went to the basic Knesset, the Abi Guber. That was the name of the place, the name of the person. For Gozer Tanis, and he was Gozer a fast. V'yorim Chum Archatzos, and rain came down in the morning. V'amr Hali, first at Hali, V'yachkach Alfashos, and then they ate and drank. So Shani Ben Mechuzah, the Shechiba Shechas, they're going to eat and drink, they're going to become shikker, they're going to become inebriated, and they won't be able to say Hallel. So there he said, say Hallel first. But normally, you should say Hallel on a full stomach, because it says, Nosn Lechem Chobosr, Kham Chasto, that your chesed, you thank Hashem after you have a full stomach. The Farshim say, why didn't they say how? They're going to wait till the next day. So there's a machlok is about that. You should say how that day, not wait the next day. How do say tennis tomorrow at regular time? How do love say to tennis? Tomorrow we start the last paragraph. It's the last paragraph.